Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to a special edition of The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Dori Malloy, and I'm your host for this evening, and I'm so happy to be here with you for the next hour. As you know, Signs of Life Radio is brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, and if you're not familiar with their work and all of the wonderful healing events they organize, you can visit them on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. We have a wonderful guest coming up on the show tonight. We have certified research mediums, Renata Santarelli. She'll be joining us here in just a few minutes. And the topic we'll be discussing tonight is about experiencing loss through suicide and healing from the grief of that experience. And, of course, we'll be talking about the afterlife as well. Now, we do realize this is a very sensitive and it's a very emotional subject for many of you. And quite honestly, it's an area of discussion that isn't spoken about much. In fact, it wasn't even all that long ago that suicide was considered taboo, and it carried so much stigma, it wasn't even spoken about at all. But times are changing, and tonight we're so happy to have Renata here on the show with us because she has both personal and professional experience in this area, and she will be sharing many insights with us. So we invite you to call in with your questions, or perhaps some of you even have some insights of your own that you really would like to share with us. I will mention really quickly, though, we're not taking any mini-reading calls tonight. Renata and I, of course, are both certified mediums, but if you would like to have a mini-reading, please call in during the Mediums and Messages show, and we always have that on the third Thursday of every month. So that's actually 2 weeks from tonight, and if you'd like a mini-reading, we'll be happy to do that for you at that time. So before we bring Renata out on the show, I'd like to share a few quick insights with you just about grief, about the process of grief. You know, you might be wondering, how in the world could we ever heal from the grief of losing someone, especially to suicide? And most especially if you're thinking that you could have done something to change the outcome. Now, I don't believe that anyone can change the time of someone else's death. I believe that decision can only be made at a soul level by each one of us. And yes, some people do make the decision to end their physical life. And in doing so, I'm sure there were probably lessons that were, you know, left undone. But as a medium, I also know that we have spiritual teachers and we have guides on the other side, and they are there to assist us. Please, please remember, those on the other side are never alone. They're never alone. And as we get into the subject of suicide a little bit later in the show, we'll also explain to you why you shouldn't take responsibility for their actions. So tonight, the first thing that I want you to know about grief is that every one of us will experience grief in a different way. Every single relationship we have is unique. So every loss event we have in our lives will absolutely produce grief, because grief is a normal and it's a natural reaction to loss. But there are a few things that you could do, and these are things that will help you to move through your own personal grieving process. So whether you've lost someone to suicide or, honestly, any type of death, there are four things that you could do that will help you to resolve some of the grief that you're feeling. Number one on the list, be authentic. Most of us are so programmed with automatic responses that when someone asks us how we are, we're often very quick to say, oh, I'm fine, when you're probably anything but fine. So give yourself permission to be honest. If you're not feeling that good, it's okay to say that. You know, it's okay to share that with others. Other people really expect you to be going through a vast array of emotions, and they understand that it might leave you feeling disoriented, or at the very least, maybe just off your game. The second thing that you could do, if you're experiencing a loss through death, number two on the list would be to honor your loved one's memory. There are so many ways to do this. It's becoming very popular to create memorial pages for people, or even like a Facebook page where friends and family members can contribute photos. We can put up poetry, comments, and these are things that everyone can share in together. Some people like to donate money in their loved one's name, or perhaps to a cause that's important to them. Other people like to gather together. You could do this on anniversaries. You could have a memorial dinner, or you could have other types of get-togethers. Here's the thing, though. The point is to remember to celebrate someone's life, and not just mourn their death. By sharing happy stories, or even better yet, funny stories, we lovingly keep their memory alive. And they know when we're doing that, by the way, because they talk about those events on the other side. This is the kind of information that comes through to us as mediums, and so we share those things with you whenever we can. The third thing you could do, number three on the list, change your routine. Some of the most difficult times of year to get through are the holidays, birthdays, anniversaries, and of course celebrations. So if your tradition has always been to gather at someone's house, let's say for Thanksgiving dinner, and it's mom's house, but mom passed away this year, think about going out for dinner this time around. Or when it's an anniversary of someone's death that comes around, you know, maybe you could donate some of your time or energy as a tribute to them. You could do this with something that would help other people. Maybe spending a few hours at a soup kitchen or at an orphanage or hospice. These are just a few possibilities, you know, that come to mind. Giving of yourself is such a compassionate thing to do, and it's a compassionate way to help us understand that we're not alone in our losses. And finally, don't grieve in solitude. It can be very, very healing to be with other people who care about you. They'll understand if you're not fully up to engaging in life just yet. You know, the truth is that isolation is the worst possible thing you could do. Grieve together, and you'll also heal together. Humans were not designed to live on this planet in solitude. It's only through others that we can find our way back to living and back to loving again, instead of feeling like we're merely existing. So these are some of the things, you know, that you can do that are going to help you to get through the process a little bit easier. And you have to take it one day at a time. We know, all of us know, there's no magic pill. But I hope that some of the suggestions have helped. And by taking a few simple actions like that, or just, you know, make a few changes, we can absolutely get through our grief. And oftentimes, I've seen so many people that were even able to transform that pain into healing for others. Sometimes you can join a bereavement group. You can be there for somebody else who's gone through the same thing that you have. And it's a way of sharing. It's a way of caring and giving of yourself. And by the way, your loved ones know that. They know what we're up to here in the physical world. So try to remember that death is our transition back into pure radiant energy, and that our consciousness absolutely does survive physical death, okay? Now, one of the things we'd like to talk about a little bit later in the program is what it's like for us as mediums when we connect with someone in spirit who has taken their own life, and we'll share our perceptions with you on that a little bit later. Now, right now, we're going to take a very short commercial break before we bring our guest on the air. When we come back, we're also going to open up the phone lines to callers. So if you'd like to call in for, you know, with a comment, or you have a question, or you want to share an insight with us, that would be awesome. Call us at 1-888-627-6008. So please stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.lndrproductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
When grieving the loss of a loved one, sometimes a hug is just what you need. Hugs from Heaven are lightly weighted shoulder wraps that are made from the fabric of your loved one's clothing. Your clothing can also be made into memory pillows and sachets. Each Hugs from Heaven is handmade with loving care and is as unique as your loved one's spirit. Visit us at hugsfromheaven.com. That's hugs, spelled with a Z, from heaven.com. Who couldn't use a hug?
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide a forum where individuals and families who have suffered the loss of a loved one can turn for support, information, and hope. We believe in the continuity of the family even though a member has left the physical world. The Forever Family Foundation is a joint effort of scientists, research mediums, and interested people who support the premise that life does not end with physical death. We wish to prove that the bond of the family cannot be broken even by death. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707. That's 631-425-7707. Or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to The Gathering on Signs of Life Radio. I'm Dori Malloy, and I'm your host for this evening. And now I'd like to introduce our guest medium on the show tonight. We have Renata Santarelli with us tonight, and she is a certified research medium with the Winbridge Institute and also with the Forever Family Foundation. She's a motivational speaker, and I've got to tell you, she's no stranger to radio. Renata's been a radio host for many years herself. She's also a Reiki master, as well as a Karuna Reiki master, and she is a level 3 practitioner in matrix energetics. And I've got to tell you, folks, she's one of the most compassionate people I've ever had the pleasure to know. And I do believe we have her on the line. Hi, Renata.
Hello, Doreen. How are you?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I'm fantastic. I'm so happy to be here with the Forever
awesome.
Family
awesome.
Signs of Life and with you this evening.
Oh, that's awesome. You know, this is such an emotional and difficult subject that we're talking about tonight. So let's start here, because I think our listeners will find this information really insightful. You had mentioned to me a while back that there are 6 common and misunderstood components, and these are like the 6 things that are specific to loss through suicide. Why don't you tell us what these are? And by the way, in just a bit, Renata's also going to share with our listeners some of the phone numbers for the suicide hotlines. So stick around for that. You might want to grab a pen and paper just in case anybody wants that information. So, Renata, what are the 6? Tell us about this.
Okay, the 6 common things that seem to be the most apparent when dealing with suicide, which is a unique... All grief is difficult. We all go through different stages of grief. But suicide's a little bit more unique. Now, I can speak about this on a personal level because I've had that in my life. I'm a survivor of suicide, as well as all the sessions that I do with all my clients. So the very first one, and I've done a lot of research on this, and over the last 5 years, it's really just been coming together. And so these six things always seem to stick out. And this is for the six most common and misunderstood components. The most difficult thing for a loved one, a family member, rather, it's a mother, a father, a brother, sister, grandfather, grandmother, is that our loved one chose to end their own life.
Right.
They chose
decision.
That. Right. They did not cross or pass from a crisis or an accident or something. They made that choice. And we, as a family member, we always deal, and this is true normal with other types of grief, but it's very prominent that we always have this, what could we have done, should have done, and we should have known. The third is guilt. Now, there's always guilt when we're dealing with grief, but there's so many layers of guilt when it comes to suicide, and that guilt also depends on how the person or a loved one took their own life. For instance, if one of our loved ones, and in my own personal life, took their own life via a gun that belonged to another family member, that family member's guilt is more tremendous.
Absolutely, yeah.
The fourth thing is the shame we feel as a family member. The shame that we feel and the embarrassment that we feel because our loved one chose to end their life. And that's a huge, huge component right there. They're all very strong, but also the embarrassment, because that is immediately we trying to protect our loved ones. We want to cover up the fact that they took their own life because we want to protect our loved ones and we don't want them to be judged, and we're also concerned about ourselves being judged.
Right.
The sixth would be the religious judgments and beliefs and society's perceptions and the person's own set of belief systems.
Right. Wow.
Many layers.
Yes, it is. It actually is very layered. And it's interesting. This is a great list, by the way, of things that you bring up. Because I want to just speak to the guilt portion for just a second.
Okay.
Because, as you know, I have a background in grief recovery.
Yes.
In that program. And they now call it the Grief Recovery Method, by the way, for anybody that wants to look that up online and go to their website. And there's also links from my site there. But guilt is one of the things they talk about in the Grief Recovery program and in the handbook, because it's very often a misplaced emotion that people have. They call it the G word. And one of the things they use just as an analogy, they would say, well, if you were feeling guilty, did you ever intend harm to your loved one? And almost universally across the board, everyone always says, no, of course not. And they say, well, you know, why would you feel guilt then? Yes, you're going to feel other emotions. You're going to feel a vast array of emotions when something like suicide happens. But let's take the G word and put it back in the dictionary where it belongs.
Exactly.
And let's talk about maybe some of the other emotions that you're feeling. So it's very interesting, and I'm so glad you had that in there, because it is very common that people will feel that. They think there's something they could have done, you know, that would have changed the situation. And in most cases, there really isn't anything. So tell me a little bit about your work with this, because I know that you've done some lectures on this. I know you've got some really great recordings of this, radio shows and lectures and things like that. How did that come about? How did that work into your profession?
Actually, it was something that I never intended to take place.
Wow.
Because
yeah.
On a personal side, in 1998, my brother took his own life. Me being an intuitive medium, I had spoken to him the day before. I had no idea.
Mm-hmm.
The guilt that I had, it took me several years, and I refused to use my abilities. I basically shut them down, because if I could help other people, in dealing with different things in their life and providing divine guidance, why on earth could I not have helped or saved my brother?
Right.
And that took place in 1998.
Yeah, yeah. So let me just speak to that for just a second, and then we have a caller on the line we're going to go to. But here's what's really interesting for the folks out there to know. As spiritual mediums, we have the knowledge and we have the insight and the intuitive senses to be able to connect with the afterlife. But when we experience grief, we're no different than you are. It's going to hit us the same way. We're going to feel the depth of that grief and that sadness, and it's no different what we go through, because it's not an intellectual process. Grief is never an intellectual thing. It's always an emotional thing. So even though we know as mediums that there's an afterlife and we know how to connect with people in the afterlife, if we have a loss with someone that we're close to, we're really going to feel that. So always remember that. It's universal. We're human, and that's how humanity is going to feel that. We have a caller on the line. Why don't we go to the caller and let's take that next call. Let's see who we have here.
Hi.
Hello. Hi. Welcome to Signs of Life. Hi there. Who do we have?
Hi.
What's your name?
My name is Chuck Sweetrock, and I work with a sort of companion organization, the IONS Group, the International Association for Near-Death Studies.
Okay.
And my brother committed suicide in a very horrific manner. Certainly, all of the elements that were just listed, our family went through. This happened August 15th, 1985, and it's one of those things when you first, you never forget the date or the moment when you became aware of it.
Yeah.
And the guilt factor, which we found out about later, my father missed the fact that a high-powered rifle was... He thought he had counted all the guns in the cabinet.
Yeah.
And later,
okay.
One was gone. My mother recalls hearing my brother say he was going to go to the farm in the sky. My brother worked for a local farmer that day, and so obviously that felt very hard for her to take. But we both had what I call miraculous healing events that helped us deal with it. In my case, when I lived 4 hours away and I had to drive down to their home and then be there for a week, being the oldest, just kind of dealing with details, by the time I got home, I hadn't really dealt with my own needs there. And I talked to my confidant, who was my stepmother, and she said, "You need to say goodbye to your brother." And with that direction, I found some quiet time and in sort of a meditative state. I was in a recliner. I relaxed and said, "Goodbye, David." And with that moment, with that release, I was instantly transported back that 4 hours to Pennsylvania, back to the funeral home, back through the wall of the casket into the space. This is gruesome, but it was where there should have been a face. And at the same time, while I'm aware of that and I'm experiencing the terror and the horror of that, and then my body was like convulsing in an epileptic kind of fit. At the peak, the pinnacle moment of that, this voice came into my head, and that's the only way I can describe it. Now, after 25 years of dealing with near-death experiences, I understand those kind of phenomena. But that voice, this male voice, said, "He's not here." And with that, there was total peace and total serenity. And as I relaxed, and with that, in that moment, I gave up my fear of death.
I'm so glad you called in and you shared this with us, because there is, I think you have to find a way to make peace with the decision that they made, you know, and it sounds to me like that was a very healing experience for you, even though it was very difficult from what you described. It was very healing for you as well.
It was very healing, and I'd like to share, if I could, briefly my mother's experience. My mother was very religious, and she she took this very hard, obviously, and still to this day she looks up and says, she sees a star in the sky, and she says, that's David. You know, that's her anchor. But in the day following this event, she woke up, and in that twilight state, as she's waking at the foot of her bed, she said she saw Jesus with David. And David was trying to come to her, and she heard Jesus say, not now, David. And that was her, you know, her healing balm for, you know, helping get through that. I mean, it didn't totally remove the grief or anything. She still had that, and my father certainly dealt with a lot of anger because he felt, you know, that was...
Well, everyone comes to dealing with grief, I think, in a different way. Our phone lines are actually lighting up, but Renata, did you want to comment anything?
I just want to say, because I thank you for calling in and sharing your story. My story is your story, very similar. And the amazing thing is that regardless of how we lose our loved ones to suicide, especially through suicide, one way or another, they have a part in bringing healing to their family and to those of us that they left behind. And I thank you for sharing.
And I will just say, and I would just say in closing that my experience with near-death experiencers, and we went to George Anderson for a session, the message is that the suicide is not a damning event forever. These individuals, our loved ones, are still existing, and they're still, you know, having...
Oh, yes, they are. Boy, do they ever.
We absolutely agree with that. You know, we understand that they are together with other people on the other side, even if they have made the decision to take their own life. Their spiritual teachers and guides are there as well to assist them. So, yes, they do have the assistance, and they're never alone, you know, and that's one of the things that that comes through very oftentimes, at least for me, when I'm doing a reading for someone. But I thank you so much for calling in. Thank you for sharing your story with us.
Yes, thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
Be well. We have another caller on the line. I think it's Maureen.
Maureen, can we... Oh, I'm sorry. I just wanted to give out that 800 number.
I think
it's very important. And it's a national hotline, suicide hotline. And it's 1-800-273-8255 or 1-800-273-TALK. And just for all those that are tuning in and listening and maybe dealing with a loved one that is struggling with suicidal thoughts or issues or mental illness, is that that hotline is there for you as well. There is support. There is always hope. And I just have to say this, is that please remember, suicide is a permanent condition that can never be taken back for temporary issues that are going on in our lives, experiences, and challenges at this time.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing the number. Also, let's try to remember to say that number again before the end of the show. In case anyone needs that. Let's go to our next caller. I think we have Maureen. Is it Maureen on the line?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Hi, Maureen.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Yes,
Welcome
Doreen.
Welcome to the show. Did you have a question for us?
Well, I have a question, a comment, and if we have time, I want to share an experience. I have received two readings from you, Doreen, a while ago. My daughter committed suicide about 2.5 years ago.
Okay.
And as somebody with a pretty spiritual, sensitive, kind of insightful, it's been a really, of course, all the pain and the grief, but it's been a really interesting learning how to develop a relationship with somebody who's in the afterlife.
Uh-huh.
And I want to say that my process of grief getting readings has been amazing, and I noticed that that wasn't on her list of six things, and I know maybe it's not for everyone, but it just helped me and guided me and helped me to open up to receiving and listening. And, you know, it's still a painful experience, but having clairvoyant readings has been a big part of my grief process.
Oh,
and
I'm
the
so
other
glad
thing with grief is that, yeah, it's really, really true. And the other thing with grief is that I think sometimes we hold on to it because it makes us feel connected.
Absolutely.
You know, there's this place, you know, it makes us feel like, you know, before I fall asleep every night, I think about, oh, I should have done that, you know, and there's just this feeling of connection. And one of my stories I want to share, just a quick experience before I ask you a question, is that it's my most recent experience. I've had a lot of experiences of my daughter coming through, connecting, guiding me. It's been really amazing. But a couple months ago, I woke up going, why am I still alive? This sucks. I hate this. And I heard my daughter's voice in my head going, I want you still alive. So I feel the sun through you. I feel the wind through you. I'm going, yeah, yeah, right. Is this Michelle? Is this me? How do I know? And about a half an hour later, I had this compelling, intense desire to walk to New Seasons, our local grocery store, and to stop by this house that has a poetry post outside of it all the time. And for some reason, I was like, oh, I have to go there. I have to go there. And I didn't even think of any connection. And I just want to read short extract from the poem that I found on this poetry post. It was a poem by Pablo Neruda, and it was from, I think, a son. He was writing this voice of a son who died and writing it to his father. And part of this is just the second stanza. I want you to live while I wait for you asleep. I want your ears to still hear the wind. I want you to smell the scent of the sea we both loved and to continue walking on the sand. So that you can touch all that my love provides you, so that my shadow may pass over your hair, so that you, that all may know the reason for my song. And it's basically about staying alive when someone else
is. Wow. Yeah.
Passed. It was amazing, the whole experience of, like, being guided there. And, I mean, it's just one of many things she's guided me to. And one other thing I want to share about how to deal with is a memorial bench is a really beautiful thing, too.
Yeah.
I put one up in a local park, which I feel like my daughter completely guided, had given me pictures of where it's supposed to be. And it's really, this is a place to go and cry and hang out, and it's a, it's a good, good thing. And so something, so I just, for people, I just wanted to share those just because.
Yeah, you know, thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. It is important to honor their memory, you know, and as best we can do that, honoring their memory. They know when we're doing that. I loved the poem.
And that's what I wanted to ask you about. You said that they talk about that, about the things that we do for honoring their memory. That's what I was going to ask you about, kind of just like what you were saying. If you could talk a little bit more about that.
Renata, did you want to add anything real quick? Because we're going to get ready to go to a break in a few minutes.
No, at this time, I just wanted to state, you know, the six things that I mentioned in the beginning is just in the beginning stages when someone is going through that process, when that crisis hits, that's the way everyone feels. And then in the second part of the show, we're going to get into more of how you can deal and the amazing things that you've just shared about how your daughter has connected to you and guided you. And that you still feel her with you. And really quickly, sometimes we don't want to let go. And we always hear people say, well, just let it go, let it go. And one of the reasons we don't want to let things, let them go, because how can we let them go? We have to learn to start living our lives without that person in our life, here physically, and bless all of those that are aware that their loved ones do continue on, and they do guide us, and they do bring healing.
And you know, Maureen, you said something else also that was very interesting. You said about, you spoke about the continuing relationship with your daughter even after she was on the other side. I don't know if people understand that is possible. It is possible for you to have a relationship with your loved one, even though they can't be here in physical form anymore. And it's also, of course, if you're in a very deep state of grief and, you know, this event has just happened, and they've just passed, and especially if it's through suicide, you know, you do need some time to be able to focus again, get back into the swing of living again, you know, just getting back into the basic things of life. But once you're doing that, it's about clearing your mind and just kind of trying to feel their energy and connect with them in whatever way works for you. For some people, it could work through meditation. For others, it could work through dreams. There's many different ways, you know, for many people to connect. But the most important thing is you can still maintain your relationship with them and actually feel their energy on your own without the assistance of a medium. So I'm so glad you brought that up. That was really great.
Yes.
Thank you so much for calling in. I appreciate that.
And thank you so much for all that you do.
Thank you, Maureen.
Bye-bye.
We appreciate
that.
Thank you so much. Our phone lines are lighting up. We have people on hold. Please don't go away. We're going to get to your calls, but we're going to take a really quick commercial break. I'll just remind you really quickly, if you'd like to call in with a question, our number here again is 1-888-627-6008. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Has your marketing pitch been missing the strike zone? Maybe you need a new player to help your marketing efforts. At LNRProductions.com, you'll find a team that can give your broadcast advertising the winning edge. LNR Productions has produced award-winning jingles, radio and television commercials for many businesses just like yours. Radio and television advertising work, but you need the right game plan. Make sure you're getting the most out of your ad every time it airs. www.LNRProductions.com. We'll throw strikes for your business every time.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
It is with great pleasure that we announce the formation of the Winbridge Institute for Applied Research in Human Potential. Dr. Julie Beischel, Director of Research at Winbridge and one of the premier investigators in the field of mediumship research, reports that the team at Winbridge will continue pursuing the many unanswered questions that remain in the field of afterlife science. Please go to www.windbridge.org to learn more about this groundbreaking research institute. That's www.winbridge.org.
The American Association of Electronic Voice Phenomena has always been international and concerned with more than just EVP. To better serve the public, the AAEVP is now Association Transcommunication, or ATRANSC. Their new website is ATRANSC.org, and their motto is Objective Evidence of Survival. The directors believe people should know that death is not dying, and what we learn now applies to what we will learn hereafter.
For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I'm Doreen Malloy, and if you're just tuning in, I'm your host for this evening. And this show is sponsored by L&R Productions. They can be found on the web at lnrproductions.com. And if you are a business interested in advertising on our show, please contact us via email at radio@foreverfamilyfoundation.org Or you can give us a call at 631-425-7707. We have a couple of quick announcements here. We are sending out a huge thank you to all of our supportive listeners who have made it possible this past year to bring you Signs of Life Radio. They know that even though we are 100% volunteer, not-for-profit organization, it still takes a lot of money to do the work that we do. And yet, we know that it's not everyone has extra income that they can send along to support the continuation of our programming. So I'm going to share with you just how easy it is to keep this radio show alive without sending us money. First, go to foreverfamilyfoundation.org and apply for the Visa credit card. Visa will make a donation to us for each card that's taken out. And each time the card's used, a portion of that charge is donated back to Forever Family Foundation. Then, if your shopping takes you to the Internet, consider shopping at Amazon.com. But first, use the link on the Forever Family Foundation website. And again, a portion of your spending comes back to support our work. Now, if you don't see what you want on Amazon, you could also sign up for iGive.com and name Forever Family Foundation as the charity of your choice. Then you can search through iGive for your items. And for each search, we do receive a donation. When you find what you're looking for in their more than 900 online stores like L.L. Bean, Red Envelope, 1-800-Flowers, a portion of what you spend is again donated back to Forever Family Foundation. So please take a few moments when you shop to show us that you care. Secondly, there's an afternoon workshop for parents who have lost children called How to Listen When Your Children Speak. This will be held on Saturday, August 25th from 2 p.m. to 6 p.m. in Bethel, Connecticut with certified medium Angelina Diana, and she's opening to bring through only 10 children in spirit. The afternoon will include evidence of an afterlife from a parent's perspective and also a refreshment break with conversations from other parents who have walked in those same shoes. There's only 4 spots left now at this event. Also, our annual November conference is set this year in Phoenix, Arizona, at the beautiful Hilton Phoenix Airport Hotel. They have free shuttle service to and from the airport, as well as to local attractions, and this conference will be the first of its kind as an intensive, interactive weekend. So make your arrangements and your reservations now since the hotel block is filling up. The weekend will begin with our annual Friday night fundraiser on November 9th, featuring Long Island medium Teresa Caputo, and will continue through November 10th and 11th with a select group of esteemed scientists answering your deepest questions about the reality of the spirit world. The weekend also features certified mediums Dave Campbell and Deborah Martin, who will be joining our panel of expert presenters, Dr. Eben Alexander, Lloyd Auerbach, Dr. Julie Beischel, Dr. Stafford Betty, and Dr. Claude Swanson. And finally, on 12-12-12, don't miss being in the right place on the most spiritual date of the year. Of course, 12-12-12 means December 12th, 2012. We have a medium marathon scheduled featuring an evening of 4 extraordinary mediums, Bobby Allison, Kim Russo, Suri Bernson, and Laura Lynn Jackson. Seats may be reserved via the website at foreverfamilyfoundation.org, and you'll find this information on the events page. Now, let's get back to our show. And if you're just joining us, our guest tonight is certified medium Renata Santarelli. Hi, Renata.
Hello, Doreen.
Hi. Before we get to anything else, let's give out that hotline number again for suicide survivors.
It's the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline. It's 1-800-273-TALK or 1-800-273-8255. They are also there to help family members who are maybe dealing with a loved one that is dealing with issues of suicidal thoughts or mental illness. It's a wonderful organization.
That's awesome. And it's so important for people to know that there is someone out there for them to talk to if they are feeling suicidal or if they have a family member or a friend. They can share that information with them. Okay, so we're going to talk a little bit about being a medium and survivor of suicide. Let's go to one more phone call first. We'll take one more caller, and then we're going to get into that a little bit. I think we have Carol on the line. Is Carol there?
Oh, yes. Hi, I'm Carol.
Hi, Carol. How are you? Thank you so much for calling in. What's your question or comment tonight?
Well, I'm new with all this, even though I wanted to tell you my experience of my son. He contacted me, and he died in 96. But, well, the next morning, he appeared to me like a portrait with white light surrounding him and his favorite shirt.
Uh-huh.
And then, and that was 96. So in 2006, I get a phone call from my daughter saying my friend from another state says to call her. It's very important. Well, it ended up my friend's name is Sandy. She's in Illinois, and I'm in Kentucky. She goes to the medium gallery up there, and it ended up after the medium spoke with three people, he went to her, and he said, now there's a suicide friend in your family, a friend, or you know someone that has suicide in the family. And she said, yes, and so on. Anyway, I'm nervous.
That's okay.
She finally contacted her because we hadn't been in contact for 10 years. And
wow.
So she calls me and tells me what proceeded in the conversation. And so she gave me the name of the medium and the his phone number. Well, he travels. And so I finally got a hold of him and told him, and he remembered having this conversation with Sandy. And he says, now, I was wanting to set up an appointment. He says, no, we have to do this right now because Jason is right here. Well, that proceeded into an hour conversation with him through Robert. And I think the main thing was to have his dad become a believer because
yes.
In the end of the conversation, they're talking about his dad's grandfather was on the other side. So anyway, my son says, well, he's over here now, and he still makes moonshine. Well, the history of the grandfather. Now, my husband's 67, okay, but the grandfather that way went. He made
right.
He ran a bar, and he also made moonshine. I guess back in the 50s, 40s. I don't know, but that made my husband a believer.
You know,
and,
I always like to say there are no secrets on the other side.
No, there's not.
That all the time.
And I'd like just to add that, Carol, that what an amazing gift that you received from your son, and that's something I always
know.
Share.
I know. Robert said this is a persistent person. He's getting through to you no matter what.
And our loved ones flock. They do whatever they can to let us know.
Oh my God!
That they do.
But another one, real quick. Like 2 years later, I was listening to this midnight radio show, talk show, and they were talking with an interviewing another medium. And so he gave out his website. And so I just happened to go there to read his website while I'm listening to the radio show, okay? Well, anyway, on his website, it says, scroll down to a beautiful song. Well, I clicked on the song, and it says, we'll be together again. And it was a beautiful song. But the story of the singer... The story of the singer, she never sung before until a couple of years prior to her starting to sing. I mean, well, I think this was just recently for that time, in 06 this was. And she was more or less guided to sing. And,
wow.
I mean, the song is just beautiful. It really is. And
what a great...
Carol, just
That was that's a wonderful story. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us. We've got a few minutes left here, so I'm going to leave it there with you, Renata. I want you to talk a little bit about what it's like to be a medium and also a survivor of suicide. You've had this in your family, right, and friends as well.
Well, I have three family members, and I myself attempted to take my life three times over the course of my lifetime due to different challenges. And I kind of wanted to just touch briefly on a personal as a human being, you know, even though I'm a medium, I'm a human being first, and we go through the emotions. But something that the survivors of suicide who weren't successful, for those of us who have attempted it, the five things that seem to keep cropping up on a book in the research, I'm writing a book right now, I hope to have out in the spring, is that we feel, and I'm saying we, as because my experience, we feel we failed at something once again.
Right.
The second thing is the guilt that we have
what we put our loved ones and our family members through, the judgments that they go through via family, friends, or the, you know, again, society's perceptions, our shame, the shame the parents have, and again, that embarrassment. But the thing is, I always share with people, I've led a very challenging life in this life, and there's something my older son always has told me, is that impossible is nothing. You don't ever give up. And suicide, really quickly, with being a medium, when my brother did take his life, like I had mentioned, I kind of shut down. I was very angry, but I'm a normal person. I'm going through the grief process.
Of course, yes.
70% of the work that I do, and I do a lot of speaking engagements and different things, and even my clientele is always dealing with grief of some sort. A lot has to do with suicide. I wasn't real happy in the beginning with that because it was very difficult for me. There are times that I still will do a session for someone who's lost a loved one through suicide, that when I'm done with that session, I have to go outside, decompress, and have a really good cry.
Absolutely, yeah.
And then being a medium on the end, when I'm in that process, or I'm in that zone, so to speak, naturally I feel everything that the person sitting in front of me, the sitter, also as the loved ones are feeling. And, you know, there's sorrow, there's despair, and there's pain, but so much healing takes place. So much healing takes place through that process. And I'm I'm actually writing a book about grief and recovery, or grief and suicide, particularly just dealing with suicide. And
What's the name of your book?
Well, the name of the book at the moment, which is an amazing short story, is that I always had suicide in the afterlife. And I was on a massage table a couple months ago, and I just didn't have the other part. I didn't feel there was something done. And as I'm getting my massage, I feel my brother come in. Then all these other spirits are coming in. And I realize that they're from others I've done sessions for, other family members, a dear friend of mine. And they're like, we want you to share our messages, and we want you to be our voice. So it's suicide in the afterlife, messages of love, hope, and peace. They are saying that they love us, but they want us to have love again in our lives. They want us to have peace. They want us to have hope. We will be with them again. They want us to get back to the business of living, and as you had said earlier in the program, remembering them, and believe me, some of them, if we don't remember them on that day, they remind us. Honoring them, the funny stories. Suicide is a very difficult thing, and unfortunately, right now in society, with so much going on, it's on the rise again.
I know, yeah, and you hear the statistics about that. So that people understand, there is help out there. Don't isolate. Don't stay by yourself. If you have a friend or a family member and you see that they're going through a difficult time, and by the way, you know, sometimes you don't always know. They also hide things very well.
They do.
I have a lot of clients that really were blindsided by their loved ones taking their own life, and as they come through during the session, they actually, because they usually own, you know, whatever was going on, and they will share with me from the other side. They worked very hard to hide what they were going through. So you'll see the signs sometimes. If you do, try to get them to contact somebody for help, call one of the hotline numbers, not to isolate, not to hold all of this stuff in. Really quickly also, I just want to give out your web information and how the best way is to contact you. Should people contact you through your website? Is this the best way to go?
Yes, they can go to RenataSantarelli.com.
Okay.
I'm also on Facebook under Renata Santarelli.
Okay.
And on my website, on my website there is a radio show page of a three-part a radio show I did, a series on suicide, which is another story at another time that was a big blessing. And you talk about loved ones coming through, not just for me, but all the people tuning in and how that just took place. It was a wonderful experience. They can reach me there.
And those shows, by the way, people can come into your website, they can listen to those, and it's a three-part series, right? This is what
you
have on there. Okay. Also, really quickly, on your website is your email address, phone numbers. It's very, very easy to reach out to Renata, and she is also on Facebook. So if anyone would like to contact her, that's the way to go. What parting message would you like to share? Because we're pretty much out of time now.
Anything you want to say really quick? Really quickly, if you have lost a loved one through suicide, you have the right to remember your loved ones and walk with your head up and not have shame or embarrassment. One.
I love that. Okay.
Don't have shame or embarrassment. You have the right to celebrate your loved one.
I love
Two,
that.
Two, there's always hope. Always. And if you're dealing with issues in your life, they are just temporary issues. If you're taking your life, does not just affect you. It affects a numerous amount of people who love you dearly. And there's always hope. Again, the number is 1-800-283-TALK, 273-TALK, or 1-800-273-8255. And just remember, sometimes we take it a moment at a time, an hour at a time, or a day at a time. But you are worthy of love and support, and your life is worth living. This too shall pass.
Renata, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Thanks to all our listeners for joining us. I'm Doreen Malloy, your host for tonight. I wish all of you many blessings, and please remember, our loved ones are only a heartbeat away, and science is going to prove it. Good night, everyone.